Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. I said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus rules and Jesus reigns. Amen. Well, how many of you were here this morning? Praise God. How many of you, this is your first night? Raise your hand. All right, quite a few. Well, praise God. How many of you are expecting a miracle? Oh, excellent. You're in the right place at the right time. Tonight we're going to have a doubleheader. You know, I used to be a basketball player and a basketball fan. I like it when they have a doubleheader. Extra popcorn and all of that kind of thing. So my wife and I are going to be sharing the platform tonight. And we really want to press in and really flow together. Before I bring her up on the stage, I just want to encourage you. We have a resource table in the back. This morning I shared about some other books. This is another book that I have. You know, I wrote this during COVID, over 300 years of research in church history and revival. It's a powerful book. I think that a lot of people are praying for revival, but one of the things that is important about revival, preparing for revival, is just as important as praying for revival. And I think that a lot of people are now ready for what's coming. Thank you for your support. You know, you look at, for instance, when the children of Israel were going to possess the land, the Lord said to them, I'm not going to let you possess it all at once, lest it be overrun by the beasts of the field. And so the average church in North America is plateau numerically declining. Now, no pun intended, runs about 50 to 70 people. If there was a revival that will break out, just like on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people joining a church in one day, the pastors and the staff will all have a nervous breakdown. Thank you for your support. That's what I'm saying. Preparing for revival is just as important as praying for revival. I could tell you about the three sequences of revival. I don't have time, but this book will work. It just really use you as an instrument in the hand of God and prepare you for revival. It says, do it again. A cry for revival. Powerful book. And then I have another book here. It's a book on prayer. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
You hear a lot of people say things like, my grandmother is praying for me. That's, thank God for grandmother, praying grandmothers, but God does not have grandchildren. Shocker. Well, he only has sons and daughters. And you need to learn how to develop your own prayer life. And let me tell you something. The moment your prayer life starts to die, when it dies out, it's just a matter of time before everything else starts to die in your life. The mantle for the power of God is not on your ministry. It's not on your organization. It's on you. Hello? And the moment that relationship starts to die, when there's no consistency in prayer, you know, you will lose everything. So General Patton said this. There are three ways a man or woman can get what they want out of life. Number one, planning. Somebody say planning.
Planning.
That's a good idea. That's a good place to start. But planning, that's not just going to get you there. Okay, number two, he says working and working hard. Hello? That's wonderful. But between planning and working, there's sometimes an element of uncertainty. Hello? That is out of your control. That's what General Patton said. A third way for a man to get what he wants out of life is through prayer. This is a powerful book, has changed lives. Some churches have used this to start a prayer school. Chapter 17 has over 90 prayer and prophetic declarations that you can use, from praying for your children, you know, praying against witchcraft, releasing the ministry of angels, all those kinds of things. If you want to learn how to develop your prayer life, systematize your prayer life, lead a prayer ministry, this book is for you, and much more. And then we have our popular Evangelical, people really love it. You know, he that wins souls is wise. So if you use this, you know, get out there, you can get it. It's very easy to use. And then I'm preaching, I changed my message as we're coming tonight. I was going to preach on something else, but sorry, team, I won't have to give you new scriptures. Sometimes the Holy Ghost does that. Just before I was going to come, you know, the Lord instructed me to change. We're going to shift, we're going to continue to press into the vein that we had this morning, but we're going to go, it's going to be more about how God is going to use you when you leave the building. Amen. And I'm going to preach a little bit from this book here, Keys to Receiving Your Miracle. So now, I want to ask my wife to come. Now, I want to say something to you. I am known around the world because the Lord has used me mightily, you know, and I'm going to shave in one resurrection maybe tonight. And I've been involved in 5 resurrections, with 3 of them medically confirmed, where there were medical personnel involved, all right? And we see a lot of miracles every week. If you follow us on social media, you see every week we see miracles. And so my wife, you know, she's different than me. How many of you can tell? You need to pray about that. Not that I'm not loving. I'm more like, be healed, see you later. She'll be like, hug you, hold your hand, you know, do you need counseling, all that kind of stuff. But that's not my style. Okay, but let me tell you what, she is full of love. And we were in Connecticut. I just got to share this quick testimony. We're in Connecticut doing a miracle rally in Connecticut. And there was a lady there that was blind. Hello? I'm talking about blind, both eyes. This is not a miracle in a third world country. Here in these United States, we see blind people here in America in our meetings. So she hugged the lady, just hugging her, praying for her. And instantly, both of her eyes were open. Hello? And the first thing she said, you got beautiful blonde hair. Amen? So I want you to welcome her today and open. She's going to take a few minutes and share. And I'm going to come back and take it and bring it home. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for your hospitality, your love. We salute you. Wow. Aren't your pastors amazing? Celebrate what you have. Because we've traveled around the world, this is not like the norm. They're pretty special.
It is not ubiquitous, that's for sure. That means everywhere.
Amen. So we love y'all. You know, Guy this morning, he shared about the finished work of Jesus. And that's why we have miracles, signs, and wonders. And we have miracles that make us wonder. But today, I want to look at a lady in the Bible that needed miracles and what she did to position herself to receive her miracles. How many of you here need a miracle today? Okay, come on. So this lady also, she needed a miracle, and I want to look at how she positioned herself, what she did to have the breakthroughs in her life. And I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And the Bible says, and it fell on a day. This means it fell on a day. This means it wasn't a special day. Because if it was a special day, they would have said it was on the Shabbat. It was on this special feast because in that time, days were special. So it fell on a day, just business as usual. Yes? That Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat some bread. So there was a great woman. Another translation said there was a notable woman. So this was a rich woman. This was a wealthy woman. And she lived in a city called Shunem. And when we look at the Shunem, geographically, Shunem was at one side a high place, a mountain, and at the other side there was a valley. Shunem was located on a mountain and on a valley. And when I thought about this, I thought this is the life of most people. Many people live in Shunem, or their life is like Shunem. Most people have a high place, and most people have a low place. The high place of the Shunemite was, she was wealthy, she had some mullah, she had some money, but her low place was, she had no child. And if I would talk to all of you here today, all of you would tell me, I have a high place, I have money, I have a high place, I have 4 kids, I have a high place, my kids are doing well, I have a high place, I'm healthy, I can run, I can jump, I can do all I want. But then most people also have a low place. They're sick, their kids are messed up, their marriage is messed up, they need a miracle in their health, they need a miracle in their finances. So most people have a high place and a low place. And I want to tell you that the Shunammite, she was rich, she had money, she had fame, but she had no child. What is your low place tonight? Think about it. That is where God wants to do a miracle in your life today. It was a regular day. It might be a regular Sunday evening for you, but the Holy Spirit wants to do a miracle. He wants to make your low place your high place, just like he did for the Shunammite here. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat. So Elisha, the prophet, he came by Shunem, and every time he went to Shunem, he visited her house. And listen to what she says. She said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber for him, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there." So she said to her husband, listen, the prophet, the man of God, the prophet is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit, the one that does the miracles, the power of the Holy Ghost. She said, you know, the man of God, the power of God comes by us from time to time. But you know what? I want to make room for him. I want to make a room for him. What she was saying, I don't just want to have a visitation from time to time that he comes here and that he visits us, but I want to house this thing. I don't just want a visitation. I want a habitation. I want to keep this. I want to have this in our house. I want the Holy Spirit to stay here. I want the power of God to stay here. I don't just want him to come and visit and eat and drink, but I want to house this thing. And she said, let's knock down a wall. Their house was too small to host the prophet, to host the presence of God. And she said, let's knock down a wall. What wall do you need to knock down to host the presence of God, to host? Because some people, they come to church, oh, it was nice Sunday morning, 3 fast long, 1 slow song, hallelujah, shakara, ba, ba, ba. We'll just go back home. But that's not what she wanted. She said, we need to keep this here. I want a visit. I don't just want a visitation. I want a habitation. She wanted to make room for the prophet, so she knocked down a wall. What is it that you need to knock down? Is it that you need to forgive? Knock down that wall. Is it that you need bigger thinking? Knock down that wall. Is it that you need to let go of that boyfriend? Knock down that wall. Is it that you need to no longer go to that place? Knock down that wall. Is it that you have to be consistent in the word? Knock down that wall. Is it that you need to pray more in the Holy Ghost? Let's all pray in the Holy Ghost. Shakarabasuta taraba shatarabasuta taraba. Oh my. Can we all pray in the Holy Ghost? Sharabasuta tarabasuta tarabasuta tarabasaka taraba. That's how we make room for the Holy Ghost. For all of those that don't speak in tongues, we're going to have an altar call today to pray for you. I can hear many of you will pray that you be filled with the Holy Ghost, because it's so powerful. It's like charging your battery. You know, you have a cell phone. You need to charge that cell phone every day in the battery for it to work. That's like when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it's like recharging our spiritual battery. We make room for God. Now, she made room for God. She knocked down that wall. And what did she put in that room? A bed, a place of rest, a place of healing, a table. It stands for provision. A stool. Take your authority in Christ. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. A candlestick, light, illumination, revelation. And it shall be when he come to us that he shall turn into there. And then it fell on a day that he came there and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Man, she hosted the presence of God. He was there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. So it takes care to host the presence of God. Many people, we're just like, oh, I don't need to pray today. Oh, I don't really care. Oh, whatever, que sera, sera, whatever happens. No. The man of God saw the care she had to host the presence of God. Care with us, with all this care, and what is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She said, I'm well established. I don't need you. I just want to host you. Verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. Man, her high places, she got some. She's wealthy, she's well established, but she has no child, and her husband is old. Man, they need two miracles for them to have a baby. She needs a miracle, and with an old husband, it's, you know what? So they needed a double breakthrough. Yeah. She needed a miracle and he needed a miracle for this baby to get there. And he said, called her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of thy life, thou shalt embrace a son. And listen to what she said. And she said, nay, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to me. She was in the presence of God. The prophet in the Old Testament was the one that he was the one that carried the word of God. He gave her a prophetic word that by this time next year you're going to embrace a son. And she says, nay, my Lord, man of God, please don't lie to me. Her mind had already talked her out of her miracle. And many people today, this morning, we heard about Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the healer. And some of you said, big black man, don't lie to me. Because our mind is the enemy with God. And our mind, when we have been in a difficult time for so long, can you imagine? She was well in age. He was well in age. They had no children for so long that she had been talked out of her miracle. Sometimes we can be broke for so long, have problems with our kids for so long, have financial difficulty for so long, be sick for so long, that if somebody says all things are possible, it's like an internet security system that comes up. Not for me, not for me, not for me, not for me. That's good for you, but not for me, not for me, not for me, not for me. That doesn't count for me. My sickness is the worst. Nobody has ever had that. Nobody has ever been healed. Come on, girl or boy, say it. Today, are you expecting, or are you just like the Shunammite? Your mind has all those receptors. I take this, I refuse this. Yes, this for me? No, 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 no. Because we have been wired that way, that our mind wants to say no to the Holy Spirit, no to the power of God, no to the miracles. Some of you have been taught this for years. Miracles are for the days of the Bible, not for now anymore. All those miracles. Oh no. How can you believe the Bible and not believe in miracles? Come on. Because it's all about miracles. So our mind, Her mind had already taught her out of her miracle. Do not lie to me. And now it says in verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. I want to look here at season and the time of life. You know, the word season there is kairos, and I'm going to tell you what it is. We live our life day to day in the chronos. Chronos, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, day by day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2013, 2023, 2024, 2022. You see it, chronos? Some of us really know how to do this well. That's the chronos. That's our daily life. But here it says, and it's about, you know, she said it fell on a day, so it was a regular day in her chronos. Right, right. When the prophet came by and he gave her a word, that word did something in her chronos. It set something in motion in her chronos that 1 year later in her chronos, there was a kairos in her chronos and she conceived, gave birth to that baby. So when we live our lives, chronos, God will come, interject a kairos in our chronos, a divine moment, a miracle moment, a supernatural moment, a kairos in our chronos, and when we continue with our chronos will be changed because of the kairos in our chronos. She lived from day to day, fell on a day, but he gave a word that was a kairos in her chronos. You will have a baby this time next year. It was a kairos in her chronos. She continued her chronos. When she gave birth to that baby, her chronos changed because of a kairos. And I'm telling you, this is a kairos weekend today and tomorrow. This is a divine appointment where God wants to interject a kairos in your chronos so that your chronos will be changed forever. And that's how miracles take place. Day to day, today we make room for him. We make room for him. We make room for him in our kairos, in our daily chronos. We make room in our chronos, in our chronos. We make room in our chronos. We make room in our chronos. And he comes and he interjects a kairos in our chronos, a miracle moment, and it changes our chronos forever. And that is what happened to this woman. It changed her chronos, her daily life. She had this baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. If you've been waiting, you know, we waited on purpose to have our child for 12 years. Man, but when she was conceived and born, yeah. I'm not that old. They were old, I'm telling you. Can you imagine the joy, the excitement, the passion? Oh, the miracle that God did. But then listen. And verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, she sat on her knees till noon. And then the child died. She got a miracle. A kairos in a chronos. And the child says, my head, my head. Some theologians believe it had a heat stroke when it was on the field. My head, my head. She had her miracle, and then her child was attacked in the head. Do you know where the devil wants to attack you and likes to attack you? It's in the... The attack is in your... The attack is in your head. You've been married for 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, 30 years. The devil is painting a blink picture of your spouse. The attack is in your head. You've been serving at this church. You love this church, but something small happened. You're furious about it. You're angry about it. You can't stand it. The attack is in your head. You worked at a company for 40 years. You're going to get a good retirement, and there's a nerdy coworker that works on your nerves, and you want to let go, you want to give up. You want to stop from receiving what God has for you. Do you? The attack is in your head. Do you know when the child was attacked in the head? It was at harvest time. When does the attack come in your head? At harvest time. When you're on the brink of your miracle, when God is going to do something powerful, when you're on the brink of your promotion, when something powerful is on the other side, you get offended, you get hurt, you get mad, you quit, you throw in the towel. The attack is in your head.
Come on. That's good.
And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she shut the door upon him and went out. Now, she took her dead child, her miracle. Listen, this is what you do when you lose your miracle. She took her dead child and she put it in the room that she had built for the prophet, for the power of God, for the Holy Ghost. Do you see now why it is important to knock down some of those walls? She knocked down that wall, not really for that moment when she knocked down that wall. It was like a seed. There was a time, and then when she needed a miracle, when there was a need for a harvest, she went back to the room that she had built for the prophet. Your prayer life, you forgiving, you praising, you worshiping, you praying in tongues, you reading the Bible. Sometimes it's not for that moment, but you are building a room, building a room, building a room, building a room. And when you're in crisis, you will not run away from God. You will not attack God, but you will go in the room that you have built for God, and you will put your dead baby there. And many people, when they come in crisis, they have like a spare tire-oriented God. God is like a spare tire. They look in the trunk or under the car. They don't even know where the spare tire is. They don't know how God looks like. They don't know how to pray. Their Bible is somewhere in boxes from when they moved 20 years ago. They have a spare tire syndrome God. But not we here. We are building a room for God, so that in times of crisis, we will not run from him, but we will run to the room that we built for him. And we will have faith and confidence that all things are possible with him, and that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that Jesus is the miracle worker, the breakthrough worker, and Jesus is the healer. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." Now the husband, he thought that God could only work on the new moon and the Sabbath. And she said, "It shall be well." And that's in verse 23, she says, "It shall be well." Now, in verse 26, she said, "It is well." Your child is dead. Your husband comes and you say, "It shall be well. It is well." Whoa. What a confession of faith. What a faith she had. That God that interjected a kairos in her chronos one day, he would interject another kairos in her chronos again. It shall be well, and it is well. She knew her God. If he could do it before, he can do it again. Right here, right now. Her words have power. Your words have power. What do you say when your child dies? What do you say when you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor? What do you say when you get a big bill in the mail? What do you say when you're in crisis? Some people cuss, some people yell, cry, shout, some people do the craziest things. But she said, "It shall be well, it is well." And then the prophet came to her house. Verse 33. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. What did the prophet do when he came in that room? He stretched himself over the child, and he put his mouth upon the mouth's child. When you're in crisis, put your mouth on Jesus' mouth. Say what Jesus would say. Speak the word. Take Bible verses. Speak those Bible verses. Confess those Bible verses. Say what Jesus would say. Say what Jesus would say. He put his eyes on the eyes of the child. When you have a crisis, when you need a miracle, put your eyes on Jesus' eyes. See what Jesus sees. See what Jesus would see. If there's death, you see life. If there's lack, you see abundance. If there's hate, you see love. See it. See it. Speak it and see it. The next thing, he put his hands on the child's hands. Put your hands on Jesus' hands. Work. Do what he would be doing. That's why I'm so happy to see this amazing building. It took a lot of hands. I see so many volunteers here in this church. So many t-shirts. I volunteer in children's church. Good job, man. So, do what Jesus would be doing. Reach out, save souls, pray for the sick, heal the broken. Do something. Now, if this is your church, how do we know this is really your church? You put your mouth on your pastor's mouth. Not really like come to kiss them. But you will say what they say. They cannot be saying, we're having signs and wonders and miracles, and you say, I don't believe that. We have faith for this building. Look at it. This never could be any good in this building. They cannot be saying, we're going to reach the lost. You say, I'm tired. You will say what they say. You will see what they see. Your vision will be their vision. And together you will run with the vision. You will put your hands on their hands and say, come on, let's do this together. We work on this together. We work on this together. We work on this together. Because together we can do it. We are the dream team. She, her child came back to life. She got 2 miracles. She got pregnant. She got her baby came back to life. And then, few years later, there was a famine in Israel, and the prophet Elisha warned her for the famine. Now, she made that room. It might have cost her something to knock down that wall, to bring some sheetrock, to bring some towel. You guys know all about it here. It might have cost her something. But later down the road, the prophet said, you better get out of the country, go to another country, because a famine is coming. And she was spared from the famine. No, the famine, after 7 years, it was finished in her land. And she wanted to go to the king to ask for her land back. And while she was going to the king, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, he was there. And they were telling the king about a woman that had a miraculous baby, a woman that had her baby raised from the dead. They were telling it to the king. And then they said, oh, look, that's the woman I'm talking about. Look, 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 there she is. She had favor because she made room for the prophet. Do you need favor? Do you need financial miracles? Do you need God for you to do something? Make room for him, and he will make room for you. And she got her house back, And all the harvest that she didn't have from those 7 years, she got it all back. Just because she made a room for the prophets. Where do you need to make room for God? Is it in your mind? Is it with your relationships? You know, she got all this because she had one godly, divine relationship. Who do you hang around? Who are you with? Where do you need to knock down that wall? Tonight is the night to knock down that wall so that you will position yourself to receive a miracle just like she did. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Tell somebody next to you, there's power in my hand.
There's
power in my hands.
When I lay hands on the sick,
there's power in my hand. Amen. So very quickly, I know team, this is kind of like we're changing on the fly. It's a message that was not planned for tonight. That message that was planned was move out of the way. How many of you know it's good to yield to the Holy Ghost? So Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20. Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, this is why I really want you to pay attention here. And these signs, somebody say, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Somebody say, in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. He's giving you the jurisdiction of the power of God, what the power of God will do in your life if you believe. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Somebody say, they will lay hands on the sick. Say it again. And I will lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Actually, one translation says, shall recover. All right? And they went out, verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere. Somebody say, everywhere.
Everywhere.
That included Graham, North Carolina. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. Therefore, leaving the discussions of elementary principles of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work, faith towards God. This is the will of God. This will do if God permits. So, I want you to see here. Let's move to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? We exegete that verse this morning. You know, four Greek words for power. The exceeding greatness of his power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis, miraculous power towards us who believe. According to the working, that word working there is another Greek word for power, for energy. It's energy, power, his mighty power. Two compound words for power. Power there is the word mighty there is the word ischus, which stands for strength. Power there for kratos or dominion power. It's going to make sense in a moment. Okay, I'm going a little bit fast there. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Here I am and I and the children of Israel, from whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders. Say this, we are. For signs and wonders. Signs. Say, I am.
I am
for signs and wonders.
Signs.
All right? John, finally, we're getting to John chapter 17, verse 21. This is Jesus praying that they may be one as you, Father, are in me. Say, in me. And I in you. Say, in you. That they may also be one in us. Say, in me. In you. In us. That the world may believe that you sent me. All right? And the glory which you gave me, I gave to them. That I may be one just as we are one. In them, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Woo! This is so good. Can hardly wait. Amen. All right. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Go ahead and stand up one more time, very quickly. Raise your hands towards heaven. Let's make this prophetic declaration together. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. This evening, Lord, I'm asking you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus, I take my position in Christ, and I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus. I command him to leave this place, and I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They are going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. We say, preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do. And take all the glory in the matchless name of Jesus. Can you bear with a shout and say amen? All right, you may be seated. But not be defeated. So we're going to, this morning we talk about Jesus is our healer. And this message tonight is, it's not just my hand. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, when I lay hands on the sick, it's not just my hand. So it's not just my hand. It's not just my hand. So it's very important that as we look at the scriptures, you have to understand. Yes, Jesus is the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And John said that the work, if it was possible, we kind of did a forensic analysis of Jesus' ministry. And we understood why John said that even if it was possible, one by one, to record all the miracles, they wouldn't have been able to have enough books to fill the entire world to contain what Jesus did. And then he said, greater work shall you do because I'm going to the Father. What does that even mean? Well, there are many of us. And it was only one of him. Amen? So all of us now, we are supposed to be that extension of the healing ministry of Jesus continuing on the earth through us. This is why this message is very important. And it's not just, you know, Guy and Elka, you know, doing it way beyond when we leave this church. Jesus is still going to be here. Come on. At Trail Hill Church, healing through you and healing through me. That's what we need to get the revelation. Thank you for your amen. Listen, there will be no revival. Charles Finney said there will be no revival if Mr. Amen or Mr. Wait, I are not present in the meeting. And I say there will be no revival if Mr. Amen, Mr. Hallelujah, or Mrs. Gloria are not present in the meeting. I wonder if Mr. Amen show up tonight.
Amen.
I wonder if Mr. Hallelujah is here today.
Hallelujah.
I wonder if Mrs. Glory is here.
Glory.
You know, some people come to church to spectate. Some people come to church to pontificate. Some people come to church to speculate. But God is looking for someone that will come in to participate.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? So be ready to participate tonight. I'm going to teach just a little bit, and then we're going to flow. We're going to flow into this dimension. Very, very important. I believe that one of the things that is really important is for you to understand that there are really two types of operation of miracles. We told you the two ways Jesus healed, but when you look at it, if you take a panoramic view in the scriptures, you really find out that there are really two types of miracles in scripture. You have what I call monotheistic miracles. The word mono simply means one, theos means God. In these types of operation of miracles, God is working alone. The people who are recipient of the miracle do not necessarily need to exercise their faith, okay? Very, very important. You know, God heals to reveal his love, and God heals to reveal his power. But in the Old Covenant, most of the time in the Old Testament, you see these types of operation. The people did not have a relationship with God. They knew God from a distance as a pillar, a fire in the night or cloud in the day. Or there was a prophet, a king or a priest who had a measure of the anointing. And they were the primary expression or conduct of the power of God. So they knew God from a distance, but they didn't have a relationship with him. So it changed, you know, as we spoke about this morning, you know, that miracles and signs and wonders are the foundation of our faithful miracle living. But of course, we discussed the fact that you cannot see them unless you have the power of God. And the power actually was released into our lives with the coming of the Holy Spirit. To the death of Jesus, he pushed us back into that pre-Adamic fall adjudication, because when man fell in sin, he didn't just fall in sin, he fell from the place of dominion and power. And Jesus pushed us back into that pre-Adamic fall adjudication. We are back in that position in Christ again. And when he presented, I need something to drink, when he presented his blood on the mercy seat, when he presented his blood, the veil that separated people from the Holy of Holies, where only the priest could go once a year, the one that had a connection with God and everybody else watched from a distance, that veil was torn. It was torn down from the top to the bottom, signifying the fact that right now it will not only be a selected few who will have access to the power of God, that everybody now will have access to the power of God when the Holy Spirit comes inside of them. Amen. He said, you shall receive power. Power. Somebody say power.
Power.
It's interesting the way the Greek actually described that word power. You know, of course, dunamis means miraculous power. Just give me a second here. Dunamis means miraculous power. But when the Greek, when they talk about dunamis, what they actually talk about was dunamis as a force of nature, as an earthquake or a hurricane that move and drastically change and alter its path. That's what, when the Roman talk the word dunamis, when they talk about their army coming into a situation, coming into a city, just transforming everything. It's the same word, you shall receive power. So when the Holy Ghost is in you, You have that force that is like a hurricane. Come on, they say that's category 4, category 5. Everybody leave Trail. Come on, North Carolina, leave North Carolina, leave Burlington, because what's coming, you're not gonna, it's, oh, Katarina. Now listen, we know about the different storms that have come through, but this is on a different level. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost comes, it's like a hurricane and an earthquake that is going to shift, come on, everything in your life and flip everything upside down. So when we learn to partner with the Holy Spirit, he can move supernaturally to release the power of God in your life and my life. The second types of miracles in scriptures are what I call synergistic. Somebody say synergistic. Synergistic miracle. So synergistic, you know, that comes from the word synergio, synergy. It simply means that two forces are joining together, but the amount of power displayed by the two forces is greater than the two forces. Let me put an illustration for you. Can I have some more water, please? The illustration goes like this. Thank you. If you put a house in Belgium, you know, we have a base in Belgium, a base in Dallas. We travel. We're about to start a 3-month tour. And when we go to Europe, we stay there for 3 months. We go to the Middle East, Africa, different places. We're in America. We tour around America. We go to South America, different places. And in Belgium, they have these huge horses, massive horses that are used in farms. They are powerful. They are muscular, strong. And so let's say one of these horses can pull 1,000 pounds. All right? So the logical, the next step of logic would be that if you add a second horse, instead of 1,000 pounds, it should be 2,000 pounds, right? But actually, it's been proven if you put a second horse next to this one, instead of pulling 1,000 pounds, they can actually pull 10,000 pounds. It's almost like they are invisible horses working amongst them. And that's the power of synergy. Synergy, when two forces are coming together, but the amount of power that is released is greater than the two forces. So here, in Mark chapter 16, it says they went out and preached, and the Lord was working together with them. That's the Greek word, synergio. The Lord was working. They went to preach, but God was working with them. They lay hands on the sick, but God performed the miracles. Come on now. Very important here, Ron. When you look at this Bible verse here, Mark chapter 16, all right? He says, these signs shall follow, all right? Let's look at the word follow for just a moment. That word follow, it's a compound word, in a parakalutio in the Greek. Para means to come alongside, to be beside a person. And caralutio simply means to be a companion, like a companion that will go on a trip with you and never leave you. So these signs we described this morning, sign Simeon, supernatural activity, signs. Remember Jesus said to the nobleman Basilikos in the Greek, royalty, when he came and asked for healing for his son. And Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, signs, wonders, and miracles, you will not believe. Signs, Simeon, supernatural activity, wonder, the confirmation, you know, a wonder in the Greek simply means something that will leave you speechless, you know, that will baffle you. And then dunamis, miraculous power. Jesus said, unless you see a supernatural sign, a supernatural activity of God's power that will leave you speechless, you will not believe. But now he's saying that these signs, these Simeon, that supernatural activity of God's power will parakalitio, para will come alongside, beside you, kalitio, follow you as a companion that will never leave you and always be there with you. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. These signs will parakalutio. Hey, parakalutio, they will come beside you. They will walk beside you. They will follow you everywhere you go. And the scripture says what? Signs follow those who believe. Signs follow those who believe. I wonder how many believers do we have in the house today? Signs will para, come alongside, in close proximity, kalutio, follow you as a companion that will never leave you. They will parakalutio if you believe. Do you believe? Somebody shout, I am a believer.
I am a believer.
I am not a feeler. I am not a doubter. That means what caused the supernatural activity of God to parakalutio you, to come beside you and to follow you is your faith. Come on. Your faith is that activation. It is that thing that turned the light switch on and activate the parakalutio, that activation. activate the Simeon, the supernatural activity. And when you believe, you set something in motion in the spirit, you set that supernatural activity, and they will paracletio. They will come beside you. They will follow you as a companion. Signs will follow those who believe. And then he said, what will happen next? You will lay hands. Somebody say, lay hands. Lay hands on the sick. That word, lay hand, in the Greek is epitome. It's two words. Epi means upon, and titami means to place. In other words, to place upon, to lay epitome. Ah, this is really interesting. Epitome, to lay upon. So if you believe, signs will follow. Paracatilio, if you believe. And what will happen? That supernatural activity of God's power will be set in motion when you epitome, lay your hands upon somebody who is sick. Hello? Listen, hands always represent the power of God. We see in the Old Testament, they will lay hands on people to confer anointing, to confer calling. So that was a mechanism. And Jesus, when he ministered, he lay hands on the sick. He lay hands on the leper, and he was healed. He took the hand of a little girl that was dead and said, Talika kumi, little girl, rise from the dead. And she came out, and she was alive, and she was raised from the dead. There's power in the hand to release the anointing. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will paracletio, will come beside you, will walk close to you, will follow you as a companion, and you will epitome, lay hands upon the sick, and there's going to be the release of a supernatural activity of God's power that will leave you speechless. The dunamis power of God moving like a hurricane and like an earthquake, shifting and changing everything in the situation. Shout glory. Shout glory. Shout glory three times. So you lay hands on the sick. That word sick is the Greek word aristos. Aristos. Now, aristos is two words. Ristos means someone who is healthy, very positive. Healthy, strong, has all the vitality that command good health. Ristos. And then when you put the word A in front of Ristos is Aristos. Now, Aristos simply means weak, in a comatose state, almost dead, very, very sick. Aristos, sick. You will lay hands on Aristos, and Aristos will recover. And that word recover simply means they immediately start a process of recovery that goes day by day, and they get better and get better and better and better, and they are completely healed. Yeah. Why are they healed? Because there is a supernatural activity of God's power that comes upon them. So if you epitome, lay hands upon those who are aristos, they are going to recover. Recover. God will set into motion a supernatural ability that is going to work in them and heal them. I'm almost there now to really tell you what I came to tell you today. Thank you for your supernatural collaboration. Hello? Signs. Somebody shout signs. Shout wonders. Shout miracles. Shout, I'm not a doubter. I am a believer. I am not a feeler. I am a believer. I am for signs and wonders. Me and my children, we are for signs and wonders. My household is for signs and wonders. If you are signs and wonders are for those who believe. And if you believe, they will paraclete you. They will come beside you. They will walk in close proximity. They will follow you everywhere you go. And you will epitome. You will lay hands on the sick. Lay hands upon them. And they will recover. Why? Because dunamis, supernatural power, tornado, hurricane, earthquake power will come into a situation of everyone that is aristos, sick, dead, ready to die, and the power will touch them and they will convalesce and recover. So he told them, you will lay hands on the sick. Come on, boys. Come on. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Holy Ghost will move. I want to bring this home. Yeah, stand over here and face the crowd. I brought my team with me. 6'5" out of the University of North Carolina. 7'10" center out of the University of Grand Forest. This is the dream team. Come on, somebody. So, I'm just going to put you here in the front. This is a gentleman. He's battling. This is just an illustration. He's battling with aristos. Aristos, you shall lay hands on the sick. Aristos. Aristos, they're healthy, but aristos, in a comatose state, needs a miracle. Hello? And he came to Trailheads Church, and there was a big black man speaking there. Thank you for your collaboration. All right? Now, you know, you didn't know that Jesus was a pastor's son, did you? No. This is Jesus. And say hi, Jesus. Say, what's up, guys? You guys, you better, you know, tell them you guys better listen.
You guys better listen to me.
There you go. So Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, lay hands on your brother. Everywhere Jesus went, miracles happened. Hello? Breakthrough happened. There was a supernatural activity of God's power. Simeon, wonders, things that happened that left people breathless. I mean, oh my God. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He calmed the storm. He multiplied the bread. And then the Pharisees, religious leaders of those days, started to get nervous about his ministry and said, well, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub. Jesus said, no, I don't. I cast out demons by the finger of God. Y'all didn't know that God was a member of this church, did you? Say hello.
Hello.
I am God.
I am God.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching you.
So Jesus said, I cast demons by the finger of God. All right? So it was not just Jesus. Put your hand on your shoulder. It was God. God was performing miracles through Jesus. Well, Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and power, he went around doing good. In other words, to do good, you need some power. To do miracles, you need some power. Oh, to perform, to act and walk in the supernatural, you need some power. But not any kind of power, the power that comes from God. So that when Jesus healed, it was God that was healing. When Jesus delivered, it was God that was delivering. When Jesus performed miracle, it was God that was moving. And everywhere he went, it was that dunamis, that earthquake, that hurricane that changed the dynamic of every territory. Oh my gosh, demons came out screaming. And that was powerful. But there's only one problem. The Word became flesh. In his natural dimension, incarnated dimension, he had some physical, geographical limitation. So Jesus could only be at one place at one time. So if there were some aristos, people who were deadly in China while Jesus is in North Carolina, they would have to wait for 6 months for him to get on a ship to get there. What about people in Afghanistan or in Africa? You understand? He couldn't epitatize laying hands on them, hello, because he had to be there physically, even though the signs were following, para, and look at you, past signs are working besides and behind him, but he can only be at one place at one time. So Jesus said, it's better for me to go than to stay. He said, I will send you another one. One, that word another means one of the same kind. Another translation said the helper. Somebody shout the helper. Y'all didn't know that the Holy Ghost went to this church. Is it dressed in blue tonight? Say, what's up?
What's up?
I'm Holy Ghost.
I'm the Holy Ghost.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching.
So the helper, the Holy Ghost, one of the same kind, he took the place of Jesus on earth. Hallelujah. So everybody take a step back, just a step back. Stay the way you are. Just take your hands up. Stay right here. Yes, stand over here. Holy Ghost, lay hands on him. You lay hands on the Holy Ghost. All right. Now the Holy Ghost took the place of Jesus on earth. Come on now. Come on now. The people in China don't have to wait anymore. The people in Africa don't have to wait anymore. Come on. It doesn't matter where they are. If you're aristos, if you have a deadly condition and you need a miracle, a blind eye can be opened here tonight while a deaf ear is open in China, while a lame man is healed in Brazil, because the Holy Ghost, the helper has been released, and now he's everywhere, omnipresent. Hey, omnipotent, all powerful, all present, omniscient, knows everything. He's everywhere, and now the power is working. Shout, my help has come. My help has come. My help has come. Now here's a gentleman, you know, he just came and attended the Miracle Signs and Wonders Conference. He heard the big black man talk about it. And now he sees someone who's aristos, dying, somebody who needs a miracle. He said, don't worry about it. I got you now. I heard the message. It's not just my hand. And now he comes. Oh, my gosh. He comes and he lay hands. He lay hands. When he lay hands, it's not just his hand. Behind his hand is the Holy Ghost hand. Behind the Holy Ghost hand is Jesus' hand. Behind Jesus' hand is God's hand. Hey, the power, this is why. He says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you lay hands on the sick, it's not just your hand. It's the Holy Ghost hand. It's Jesus' hand. It's God's hand. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Ghost will help us. When we do not know how to pray because of our weakness. Weakness, asthenia, infirmity in the Greek. It also means the inability to produce results. Have you ever played a game called the tug of war? You got a party on this side, another party on this side. Let's say you're standing on this side, but the person or the people on this side are stronger than you, more powerful than you, and they're pulling you, and you don't have the strength. And God will send, hypothetically, a 6'7" big black Holy Ghost to come alongside. Come alongside. Hey, follow. Come alongside. Paracalutio, come alongside, beside, hey, follow, hey, the power, Kratos, dominion power, dynamis, miraculous power, iskus, the strength of God, might, power, dynamis, exousia, the power, the Holy Ghost, come alongside, and I help you, pull, that's the Greek word, come together, help, sonante labano. So helper, the Holy Ghost will help. That word help, sonante labano, pronounce sonante labano, pronounce sonante labano, which means to come together against. The Holy Ghost, shout Holy Ghost, shout help me Holy Ghost, shout help me Holy Ghost, shout help me Holy Ghost. Oh, the helper is in you. He will come together. But when he comes, he doesn't come by himself. He's bringing Jesus with him. He's bringing God with him. He's coming together to help you. And now he's healer. He's deliverer. He's restorer. Hallelujah. Jump up and down. Hallelujah. He's restorer. Hallelujah. What happened? The power, the anointing, the glory. Touch him. Come on, give him a hand. Go back to your seat. Shout, it's miracle time. Come on, every Tuesday, every Saturday, I come on Facebook with my broadcast. It's called It's Miracle Time. And I always open up by saying, it's miracle time. It's miracle time. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to announce tonight, it's miracle time. I said, it's miracle time, people of North Carolina. It's miracle time, people of America. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, my God, Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. And the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. One testimony and we're going to pray. In November 1999, I was preaching in a place called Watonga, Oklahoma. Back in those days, we used to stay in church sometimes for a week doing meetings. Every night, signs and wonders, revival meetings. And the meetings will build up and build up and build up. And so after a Friday night meeting, on a Saturday morning, the pastor had a heart attack and died. And on the way to the hospital, Pastor Sharon Lee reached out, had one of her elders call me to say I should come to the hospital and pray for her. When I got to the hospital, I did not know that she was dead. Folks, this is not evangelistically speaking. This will happen. This is not something that happened in Timbuktu somewhere. It happened here in this United States. In front of two doctors and four nurses. It was on television, newspaper, the whole nine yard. Hello? Yeah. So I got there. And when I got there, I tried to get into the emergency room. Three times, they would not allow me because I was not a close relative. So what I started to do, I started to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I was pacing back and forth in front of that emergency room. So I tried three times to get in. They wouldn't let me go in. So finally, after a while, Larry, Sharon's husband, came out of the emergency room. He was accompanied by the doctors, two doctors. He said, Gipe, I want to thank you for your ministry. Sharon is dead. They gave her 20 electric shocks to try to raise her from the dead, but it didn't work. And they said because of the low level of concentration of oxygen in her brain, even if she's revived now, she's going to be a vegetable. So I said, he said, I'd rather keep the image of my wife that I had before So I'm going to go home. Thank you for your ministry. Everybody say, Gipe is a nice guy. Gipe is a nice guy. How come there's only a few people that say that? My wife calls me the gentle giant. But some of you are struggling with that idea. Gipe is a nice guy. I'm not sure about that. So I got really mad at this guy because I couldn't understand why in the world he would not even give me an opportunity to pray for his wife. It's like I'm already there. And she had requested before she died that I should come and pray for her. It's like if somebody's dead, if you pray for them, they'll be like dead two more times. Oh, extra dead. The prayer made it worse. Look at her. She was dead like this, now she's dead like that. That's why I didn't understand the logic behind go home. I didn't understand it. Yeah. So I got really upset. And I picked this man. And I lifted this man from the ground. Why'd you look at me so holy and sanctified while I'm confessing my sins? And I pinned him against the ground, against the wall. And I said, every day in your church this week, Jesus healed people. Your wife is only 50 years old. You're going to let her die without giving God an opportunity? I said, you can go home and prepare the greatest funeral you want to, but I am going to go in there, and I believe God's going to raise her from the dead. And I drop him. I did that in front of the doctors. Now, I turned to these doctors, and I said, I'm not even from here. I come from Dallas. I am her guest. She invited me here, and before she died, she sent me the message. And now you're denying her last wish, which was for me to pray for her. I said, can I please go in there? I want to pray for her. Of course, what they saw me do to a man who just lost his. They said, absolutely. Come on in. So now I get into this emergency room. Hello? We have a dead body. Four nurses, flat line. Two doctors, a dead body, and a crazy big black man that believed that God can raise the dead. And the doctor said, please clear the path. Let him do whatever he wants to do. So they turn over this body to me, and I stand right there. Nice, easy to be here at Trailhead Church, full of people who love God, amazing worship, great pastors, loving people. You know, I mean, I wish I could have this kind of atmosphere in the emergency room. Thank you for your support. But there was none. Hello? Now, in the emergency room, in the hospital, there's no atmosphere. Hello? And so therefore, when I stood there and started to pray, it wasn't the, you know yourself. You know who you are. You know, some of you know how to fake it when you come to church. How you doing? I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And then when you go home, you start to cry. Oh, mama, can you come over, mama? No. You know, we have two sides, you know. Church, we have the church side, and then we have the home side. So you know the real you. That wasn't the real me at all. There was absolutely no atmosphere whatsoever. And when I pray, it was a shallow prayer. Because, you know, many times my wife has to tell me, tone it down, brother. I'm trying to go to sleep. When I get up at 5 o'clock to pray in the morning, I can be pretty loud. So I'm a very loud individual, even in my natural, the way God made me. I'm a passionate person. You may not enjoy this message, but I'm enjoying it myself. I may finish praying, laying hands on myself, and feel really good. Thank you for your collaboration. But in this emergency, listen, it's a teaching moment. Now, this message is about your commission. Beyond when we're gone. So listen, it's a teaching moment for you. I'm in this emergency room. I don't feel the anointing. I don't feel the atmosphere. I'm praying in tongues, but it's kind of like shallow tongue. It's not from the depth of my spirit. Hello? I thank God for worship. What you have here, it's amazing. Thank God for worship. But you got to realize that worship, hello? You're not always going to have this atmosphere when there's a crisis at 3 a.m. in the morning. Pastor Josh, and we have a problem with our dog, with our cat, or with our kid. Can you send the praise and worship team over? We need an atmosphere. No, that ain't going to happen. Hello? Or you are in a crisis on the street. You don't have time to create the atmosphere. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Imagine Jesus coming down from the mountain and a leper said, Lord, I know that you can make me clean if you want to. Jesus said, hold it right there, leper. Hey, Matthew, Peter, sing something. And Peter said, in your presence. No, not that one. Change it, change it. John, you're the one who put your head on my chest. You must know really how I feel. Sing something. You are great. You do a miracle. Jesus said, yeah, I feel it now. Leper, get ready now. Raise your hand. Oh, Peter, James, and John stand behind him. Power! Sometimes we confuse theatrics with power. There's nothing wrong with all of that in the context of your church service. But when you're on the road, in your emergency room, you got no time for all of that. Either you got it or you don't. Imagine a police officer who had a bad day with his wife and kids. A bad day, and suddenly he's called upon to go on a scene and he has to use his gun. He's like, I don't really feel like my police officer today. I really need to pray and get myself into my confidence. No, 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 no. He knows who he is as a police officer. Hello? Listen, worship creates the atmosphere, but authority releases the atmosphere. So suddenly I got a revelation, and this is where things shifted. I said to myself, these two doctors, they saw me lifting a man who just lost his wife, pin him on the wall and yell at him. And now they're seeing me in the emergency room speaking some kind of language. Hello? Do you know what happened actually? When Channel 4, secular television station, came to do an interview, and they went to interview the doctors, they came to interview me, and they went to film Sharon Lee at our church. They asked the doctors, what did you do in the emergency room for this woman to come back to life? The doctor said, we didn't do anything. The whole time, the big black man was speaking some kind of jungle language when she came back to life. Big black man, check. Jungle language, no. This thing called the Holy Ghost, it's more than just a word or words that resemble a Japanese car, Toyota, Kawasaki. It's more than just a word that resembles a cartoon movie that you watch, Hakuna Matata. This thing called the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. It's the power of the living God. It is dunamis. It is kratos. It is dominion power. It is exousia and authority. So I got the revelation. They think I'm crazy. Why do I have to act like a dignified crazy man? I said, let me show them what a crazy man looks like. And I decided to let it rip. And I tell you, I really started to pray loud in tongues. Matakuski para pasoka ti parandote shika rambatoshika parandete shutukiri para sanda rapaso. And then there was a moment I stomped my foot on the ground. And I yelled from the top of my voice. I said, Sharon, get back in your body now. Hello? Nothing happened. I said, Sharon, get back in your body now in Jesus' name. Sharon, her testimony says she was in heaven. And she was walking with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus told her, Gipe is calling you back. Do you want to go back? She said, no, Lord. I don't want to go. I want to stay here in heaven with you. And the Lord said to her, I want you to go back on the earth. I still have works for you to do. And as I was calling her back into her body, suddenly we saw her left hand move. It went from here to here, but the line is still flat. Then we saw her left leg kick like this. And suddenly the flat line went up and down and up and down and up and down. When the natural doctor could not raise her from the dead, Dr. Jesus raised her from the dead. They gave her 20 electric shocks. That didn't do the trick. But when I lay hands on her and when I spoke, it was not just my hand. It was the Holy Ghost's hand. It was Jesus' hand. It was God's hand. And God raised her from the dead. They said she would not be normal. They say she will have brain damage. 1 week after that, she was released from the hospital. When the television came to her church, she could sing and play the piano with no brain damage whatsoever. Come on. God is a miracle worker. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the healer. Jesus heals. Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. And tonight, I want you to realize this anointing is coming upon you to heal the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead. Hallelujah. Okay, let's do a little bit of a demonstration. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is not, listen, please, when the word of knowledge comes, the gifts are operating. It's not a perfect situation, but please don't spectate, participate. If you feel the Holy Ghost, pray. But there are people in this room that God is highlighting to me. I've been resisting it because I wanted to bring this message to the end. So 1, 2, 3, ladies, you're very nicely sitting there. You're shaking your hands. I want you to stand up. Can you please stand up? I never met you before. I don't know you. All right? I just want you to put your hand on your chest right now. Take a deep breath. The power of God is moving supernaturally in your life. Below your left ear, on your neck, you have a tension on your neck. All right? It's shooting down to your shoulder. And the power of God is moving supernaturally. You woke up this morning. You had a stiff neck. And I want you to move your neck. It's getting healed. Okay? In the center part of your back, the healing power of God is touching you. In the lumbar region, you have degenerated disc. You have a pinched nerve that is shooting down to your right leg, right? And the power of God is moving supernaturally over you. The power of God is moving supernaturally. You're getting touched and ministered to. It's not just me speaking, but the Holy Ghost is laying hands on you. Jesus is laying hands on you. You are experiencing a miracle in your body in front of everybody's eyes. Begin to thank the Lord in Jesus' name. Gentleman on the right next to you, I don't know if that's your husband or if we're together or not. Sir, I want you to stand up. In the name of Jesus, I want you to put both of your hands in your abdomen. In the name of Jesus, the power of God is moving supernaturally over you. The power of God is touching your immune system. Where you've been fatigued and tired, there's a rejuvenation process that is coming over you. You are a man full of energy. You know, you work very well with your hand. And you're a handy person. And you can do this and do that. But it seems like in the last few years, it's almost like you're half of the man you used to be when it comes to your strength. But even now, the power of God is coming over you. And the anointing of God is coming over you and is touching you. You have problems in your sleep. It's almost like there's something that is interrupting your sleep. You only get a few hours of sleep at night. But right now, burdens are changing shoulder. On the area of your front head, parallel to your eyebrow, there's been pressure and headaches coming over to oppress you, to harass you. Put your hands on your head. It's lifting right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak miracles. I speak signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. If what I just said, minister you, I'm telling the truth, would you just wave your hands and worship the Lord and let the people know that I'm telling the truth? Hallelujah. And give glory to God who is the healer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Say glory three times.
Glory.
Say glory three times.
Glory.
So I'm gonna zero in this aisle all the way in the back. All the way in the back. There's a gentleman, you're laying hands. I don't know if it's your spouse, and you have your hands around her. I want both of you to stand up if you can. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a special visitation that took place in the house of Obed-Edom when he brought the ark. He brought the ark to his house, And a number of things started to happen in the house. God started to bless the house. And I see you've been on a long journey of obedience with God, where you've sacrificed so many things because in your heart was to help people. And you've sown so many seed, but I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, it's coming back to you in this season, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I see these little figures. I don't know if they're like grandchildren or children that have been in your heart, and you've been concerned because things have not been moving in a certain direction as you've been wanting to. And I see you covering them in prayer. I hear the Spirit of God saying, you're going to begin to see those prayers multiply in a form of an answer and a miracle. Now, the devil has come to attack your health in the area where the leg joined with the torso, in the hips. You have an inflammation in the hip, lady. I'm talking to you. Yes, put your hands right there. Am I telling the truth? You are getting healed right now. Wave your hands and let people know I'm telling the truth. You are getting healed right now, supernaturally, in the name of Jesus. It's not just your hip, it's your back. It's your neck, it's your just different structure parts in your body, your joints. You are getting healed right now in the name of Jesus. I declare the healing virtue of God is moving supernaturally over you. The Lord is going to add life to years and years to your life. You said, Lord, I am tired. I can't keep going like this. Something needs to give. And guess what? Tonight, it's given tonight. Tonight, your body is being quickened, and those years of sowing are coming back, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I want to thank you so much, sir, for putting your hands on her and helping me minister to her. But right now, I want you, sir, to put your hands on yourself. Put your hands on yourself, sir. All right, put your hands on yourself. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for your joints. I'm going to pray right now for your digestive system. I want to pray for your back, your knees. Hallelujah. I want to pray for your spine. Hallelujah. In the center point of your spine, there's an injury. Some years ago, through a fall, you've not completely recovered. But even now, that which has come to be displaced, that which has come to afflict you, is lifting from you right now. I speak miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of Jesus. In your lower jaw, you're getting healed right now. Your shoulders are getting healed. Your knees are getting healed. Your back is getting healed. There are five miracles taking place in your body right now. We release it in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. Please, if I what I'm saying is true, wave your hands and worship the Lord. Wave your hands. If what I'm saying is true, please, lady, sir, and ma'am, just raise your hand and glorify the Lord and let the people know that what I'm saying is true and worship the Lord and give him the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say a demonstration. We came to this church to release three things: salvation, demonstration, and impartation. This, you've been seeing demonstration. Right now, if you need a miracle in this body, stand up. In this building. If you're here tonight, you need a miracle, you need healing in your body, stand up. Let's go. Let's go. I said, if you need healing, stand up. Don't be cute. You're like, I'm not sure if I need healing. What is that? If you were drowning, and your favorite color is red, and somebody gives you a white life ring, and you're drowning, you're like, excuse me, do you have a red one? How many of you would do that? But I don't know why in church, some people try to be cool. Don't be a cool fool. Hello? When the power of God is moved, it's a window of opportunity. The angel came and stirred the water. Whosoever jumped in first was healed. So jump in. Don't try to be cute. We're not going to be able to lay hands on everybody, but just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Father, I thank you for every hand that is raised. Right now, we speak miracles. We speak signs and wonders in their lives. In the name of Jesus.